As soon as it cools off, neckties back. All right, if you have your Bibles this morning, if you would open them with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to share a message, and this will probably be at least a two-parter that I call Finding Your Groove. And this is a message I think we can all identify with, and we can all find ourselves in the Scripture. And this is something that all of us need to know. All of us need to know. And it'll help you to answer some of the most profound questions that you face in life. When you finally find your groove and understand what your purpose is and you do it, I'm telling you, that's when life gets to be rich. Really, really rich. Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm just going to share a few verses. There again, Paul writing to this Gentile church said something to them that we need to be aware of. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with the first verse, he says this, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." Notice verse 7. "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." Now, remember the first verse. And the seventh verse. Remember those two verses. In verse 1, he says, "Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called." And in verse 7, he says, "But unto every one of us is given grace." Now, many times when you read the Scripture, if you don't understand the context, if you're not familiar with the language, you can come up with an assumption that's not really true. And many times when people read these verses, they push them off to the side and assume that these verses are referring to, quote unquote, ministers. But I want you to notice something. Ephesians was an open letter to a Gentile church in modern day Turkey. It was not a memo to the ministerial association. It was not a letter to pastors. It was an open general letter to believers. And he said in chapter 4, verse 1, "Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called." Now, the word called there is the Greek word klesis, and it simply means an invitation to serve. So here Paul is saying, in a general sense, all of us have been given an invitation to serve. Now, many times when we think of the word calling, we think of somebody who's called to preach or somebody who's called to teach. You know, some churches have a very narrow view of ministry. They often think that, well, if you're quote-unquote called, then you're either a pastor or an evangelist. But yet the Bible speaks of a multiple or a large group of ministry gifts that many people don't even recognize. And so it's got to be broader than pastor or evangelist. But yet people assume that, well, if you're called, then you have a special place in ministry. And we often adopt an attitude that's quite evident because most people think the church is like a spectator sport. You know, they come and watch the show. You know, the preacher performs and, you know, if you got goosebumps when, I mean, he did his job. You know, you left there feeling good. Well, I truly believe that God's plan goes beyond you just leaving here feeling good. Because feeling good is not going to help you when your feelings change. I remember going to a church service years ago, and I caught up with a family member, and they had been in the service earlier, and I said, "How was it?" And they said, "Oh man, it was good. It was good. It was great. Man, I'm telling you, he was anointed." "Really?" I said, "What did he talk about?" He What was the sermon about? It was, let's see, what was it? It was good anyhow. Okay. You felt good. That's what this person told me. They felt good. They got emotional. They got goosebumps. They felt inspired. But they didn't remember anything that they could use. Well, that's not God's plan. And so, calling must go beyond the traditional view of what people think of. Now here, Paul said this, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called or you have been invited to serve. Another translation says it like this, live a life befitting your calling. Now, whether you are understanding that you've been given an invitation to serve or whether you have a calling to full-time ministry, one thing is clear. You're not called to anything unless you're first called to exhibit the character of Christ in your life. Okay? I think Charles Spurgeon said once, no man is called, or maybe it was Dwight Moody, no one is called to ministry except he's first called to holiness. Okay? And so there's character that the Holy Spirit wants to develop on the inside of you, and he's more concerned about your character than he is your gifts. God is more concerned with your character than he is your talents. Because your gifts and your talents can take you places where if you don't have good character, you won't stay there. If there are cracks in the foundation of your character, they'll show up the more pressure you put on that foundation. And so character is important. But notice verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace. I want you to underline that verse. But unto every one of us. Every one of us is given grace. Now let me ask you a simple question. Are you smarter than a second grader? A second grader can answer this question correctly. Who does everyone leave out? No one. So everyone means everyone. And to every one of us is given grace. That word grace is the Greek word charis. And we're going to look at this word grace again. Turn with me now in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Go to the left. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Talking about finding your groove. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. You know, perhaps nobody wrote more and had more revelation about the function of the ecclesia, the church, than Paul the Apostle. All of the writers of the Gospels knew some things and shared revelation about Jesus and his redemptive work and his earthly ministry. But it seems as though Paul was given a special look, if you will, at the function of the church. And so he wrote so prolifically about the church. But notice what he said in Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Now, the word office here is the Greek word praxis. It does not mean a room with a door. The word praxis means work or function. Office means work or function. So he says this, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same work or function. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Notice verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that's given to us. Having gifts that differ according to the grace that's given to us. Now, let me ask you that question that I asked earlier that all the second graders can understand. To every one of us is given grace. Who does that leave out? No one. And here he says, we have gifts that differ according to the grace that's given to us. And every one of us is given grace. Now, the word gifts here is the Greek word charisma. It comes from the root word grace, charis. And so all of us in the body of Christ have been given an invitation to serve. All of us in the body of Christ have been given grace. And with that grace come gifts. Now, the word gifts literally means endowments. What is an endowment? That is certainly nothing more than the ability of the Holy Spirit working in your life, enabling you to do something beyond your ability. Enabling you to do something that is beyond you. There's an example in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 10, when Samuel anointed Saul to be Israel's first king. And he made a statement, he said, "You shall be turned into another man." Now, did Saul literally become somebody else? No, he did not. He was the same guy. But what Samuel was letting him know was that the Holy Spirit would come on him and enable him to function in a capacity beyond himself. And he would function as though he were another man. Because Saul was not fitted to be king over Israel. Only the Spirit of God made him so that he could be king over Israel. And unfortunately, he had that grace, he had that gift, and he blew it. He blew it because of disobedience. Many times we can blow it through disobedience. Samuel said something to Saul, which we often repeat when finally, you know, he had gone on and on and on with disobedience, and finally Samuel confronted him and said, "Why haven't you obeyed the Lord?" He said, "I did." Some people think that partial obedience is obedience. Well, God considers it disobedience. And so Samuel said, "Well, if you obeyed God, what's all this noise that I hear? Cows and sheep bleating." And as always, you know, Saul just wanted to be, just like everybody else, wanted to blame somebody else. Well, it was, you know, the people wanted him, you know. I wanted to sacrifice him to the Lord. And Samuel said this, "Obedience is better than sacrifice." Now, what does that mean? You ought to write this one down. You ready? You will never gain through sacrifice what you lose through disobedience. You will never gain by sacrifice what you have lost through disobedience. You can't make up for it. Now, thank God for grace. Thank God for His power. Thank God for His blood, because He'll cleanse you. He'll help you get on track and move on down the road. Are you with me? But I want you to understand this principle about grace and gifts. Now, turn with me in your Bibles, you're in Romans, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Just go to the right. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You know, one of the biggest challenges that people have in life, especially when they're young, is finding their groove, finding their purpose, finding out why they're here. And God will help you understand that when you get busy at whatever's in front of you. You know? Whenever you're doing what's in front of you, something that needs to be done. But many times you can find your purpose while you're working towards something small. Many times we want to achieve great things, but what are you doing with that little thing that's in front of you now? You know? Everybody in the kingdom of God started with something small. David started tending his father's sheep. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all started helping Jesus in his ministry. Paul started, you know, on the road to Damascus when he had an encounter with Jesus. But many people don't realize he didn't preach for 10 years. He sat at the church at Antioch and learned from others. Elisha had twice the anointing of his mentor Elijah. But most people don't realize that he washed the prophet's hands for 10 years. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. Many times you'll find your purpose when you're helping others and doing small things behind the scenes that nobody's aware of. Are you with me? I often tell the story about when I went to Bible college and had left Nationwide Insurance as a commercial lines underwriter, moved across the country. You know, I had my little Volkswagen Rabbit with no air conditioning in Oklahoma. Can you believe that? Vinyl seats, 5-speed manual transmission, had a clutch, car top carrier from Sears and Roebuck, and $400 in my pocket. And God met me there. Amen. And our needs were met. And I remember I'd done all that, got established in a good church, sitting there minding my own business, and the Lord's tugging at my heart, get involved in children's ministry. I thought, I don't want to do that. It wasn't macho, it wasn't masculine. The Lord kept tugging on my heart, get involved in children's ministry. I said, there's a bunch of women back there. There was one guy. They wear aprons back there. I don't want to do that. He wouldn't let me go. Argued with him for 3 months. Finally, I got it. Said, Lord, do you want me? You know, because my thinking was, God, I've done this, I've done that, I've done this. What else could you want? Get involved in children's ministry. That's what he wanted. Well, when I finally had enough sense to quit arguing with him and do it, it was one of the greatest blessings of my life. But many times, you will find your purpose while you're doing something small that's at hand, that's in front of you. Do it with all your might. See, because I'm sitting there thinking, well, yeah, I'm going to go to school here, and when I get out of here, I'm going to be God's man of faith and power. We're going to do this, that, and the other. No. If you don't work in children's ministry, none of that's going to happen. Are you with me? You know what I didn't know at the time? Was that in the same church, in another classroom, was Pam Dumont, working in children's church. I'm working with the infants. She's working with, you know, second or third graders. I didn't know they were in the same church. I had never met them until we moved back here. Pastor Jim was sitting in the congregation somewhere. So was Pastor Bowers sitting in the congregation somewhere. So was Pastor Martin sitting in the congregation somewhere. Infants, babies. Yeah, from birth to 12 months, that was my class. All you could do is wind up that little swing and say, Jesus loves you, he's in your heart. That was it. That's about all you could do. Change your diapers and feed them. But that was my ministry. That's what I did. Then I volunteered at camp meeting. I was an usher. I was a prayer room counselor. I did all that stuff. Whatever I could find to do. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We know these verses. Verse 17, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Notice verse 18. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, or to know, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, and not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Now, notice that he said that he has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean? That simply means restoring people to divine favor. God has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, who is the us he's talking about? What us have been given the ministry of reconciliation? The same us who's been reconciled to himself by Jesus Christ. The same us who've been brought into right relationship with God by faith in Jesus, that's the same us who've been given the ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean? Sharing your faith and winning people to Jesus. You don't have to be a theologian to be a soul winner. You don't have to know the Bible backwards and forwards to win people to Christ. You don't. All you have to do is have a heart of compassion and be able to share 2 or 3 verses. That's it. You don't have to be a Bible debater to win people to Jesus. You don't. It's easy. It's really easy. But that is a ministry that all of us have been called to. Reconciling others by Jesus Christ. Amen? You know, I could tell you story after story after story, but one time I was in a bus station in St. Louis, Missouri. And there was a drug dealer by a water fountain selling drugs. And I went in to get a drink of water. It was hot. It was in the summertime. And this guy grabbed me by the shirt. You know, he grabbed me later. He said to me, you know, I bent down to get some water, and he said, "Hey, Blood, you get high?" I just stood up and looked at him. I said, "No, I got Jesus." Went back to drinking my water. And so when I finished, then he grabbed me by the shirt. He said, "Say what? Say what, man? What'd you say? Say what?" I said, "I got Jesus. You can't get no higher than that." Then he pulled me by the shirt around the corner. Now, that's a pretty frightful thought. Drug dealer pulling you around the corner in a bus station. But he didn't want anybody else to see. Pulled me around the corner and said, "Would you tell me more about this Jesus?" And I did. He got born again in the bus station. You don't have to be a theologian to win people to Jesus. Amen? I've been asked that question a couple times. "Hey, Blood, you get high?" Second time somebody asked me that question, I said, "Where you been?" The fellow looked at me and said, "Huh?" I said, "Where you been?" He said, "What?" I said, "Don't nobody get high no more." I almost had him. He looked at me and says, "Oh, man, if you don't want none, just say you didn't want none. You'd have to say all that." I had him. "Where you been?" Okay, notice what it says. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ." Listen, "now then we are" has nothing to do with who we were. "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ" has nothing to do with who you were. Redemption has settled the issues of the past. So don't think I can't be a soul winner because of my past. God doesn't see your past. Your sins have been blotted out. In fact, if you come to Jesus, you're the only person without a past other than a baby. Amen. He sees you as though sin had never been. That's why it always bothers me to hear people get up. You know, some old line churches, people would get up and testify. "Oh, I used to drink and carouse and do drugs and all." Yeah. You're teaching the kids to do what you did. And then when they get to be 30, 40, 50, they think they're going to find Jesus. You know, I don't like that kind of thing. We don't care what you did before. All of us had a past, but it's been obliterated by the blood. Amen? Amen? Doesn't matter where you've been. Only matters where you're going. Amen. So now we are ambassadors for Christ. Redemption has settled the issues of the past. Never define God's purpose for you by your past. Never try to define God's promise to you by your circumstances. They have nothing to do with it. Now we are ambassadors for Christ. So all of us have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Okay, you're in 2 Corinthians. Go to the right to Galatians. Talking about finding your groove. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. So we've seen so far that all of us have been given an invitation to serve. We have a calling, klesis. And to every one of us is given grace. And with grace come gifts. And those gifts differ according to the grace that God has given us. And at a bare minimum, all of us have been given the ministry of reconciliation, restoring people to divine favor. But notice Galatians chapter 5. Verse 13, "For brethren, you've been called," notice he didn't say preachers, he said brethren, believers, "you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Notice that we've been called unto liberty. Only we shouldn't use that liberty as an opportunity for our flesh, but rather by love, everybody say love, serve one another. The word serve is the Greek word douleo, and it is the same word in the New Testament that's translated slave. So all of us have freedom in Christ. We've been given an invitation to serve. We've been given gifts and graces. But we need to use that to serve one another. Don't use it as an opportunity to get in the flesh. Now, what is he talking about? Read the next verse. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. You know the great thing about the Bible is it always tells us the good, the bad, and the ugly. And basically, human nature has not changed in thousands of years. Amen. People bite and devour one another now, just like they did 2,000 years ago. Instead of using their freedom to serve one another in love, they use it as an opportunity to get in the flesh. Amen. Well, that should never be the case with a Christian. Not if you have a heart to serve. Not if you have a heart that's born out of love, agape. Are you with me? Yes. Don't find occasion for your flesh to bite and devour one. How do you bite and devour somebody? Anybody got a clue? Yeah. The same way you bite and devour your meal this afternoon with your mouth. With your mouth. There have been people who've been biting it and devouring me. Wow, who's he think he is? Gonna get married. Ain't none of your business. Shut up and mind your own business. I ain't marrying you. Got nothing to do with you. Leave me alone. Amen? Leave me alone. If I'd have wanted your opinion, I'd have asked for it. Didn't ask you, did I? Amen. Amen. Leave me alone. Leave my fiance alone. Hallelujah. Get out of the flesh. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. None of your business. Amen. I mean, here I am endeavoring to walk in holiness and purity. I ain't sleeping with nobody. But yet people still talk about me like I have. Please, grow up. Amen. Grow up. Amen. Now, you can go to another church where the pastor's sleeping with 4 or 5 women. Yeah. People do it. See, unfortunately, I've had to counsel these women after their life is all jacked up because Reverend Jack Leg, Reverend Jack Leg, tried to sleep with all the women in the congregation. It's happened. Amen. And I've had to counsel them after the fact. We've had women who were part of our church, who were part of other churches where the preacher did that. I don't do that. What's your problem? Amen. Don't bite and devour one another. Grow up. By love, serve one another. The word serve, douleo. Just like a slave. It's something that you're bound to. Amen? Can't believe I went there. Amen. But I did. All right. Turn with me in your Bibles now to Matthew chapter 20. Let me show you something. This is very important. I'm not going to finish all this today. So I'm going to come back next week and talk more about finding your groove. But here's something we have to understand. My goodness, if you don't get anything, get this. Get this. Here's something that we have to realize. In life, all of us have been given an invitation to serve. We need to use that invitation, not for the flesh, but rather through love to serve one another. You know what you should always do? Ask yourself a question. How can I be a blessing? How can I help this person? How can I help this group? What can I do to build them up? Not tear them down. What can I do to build them up? Okay? How can I be a blessing? Listen, sometimes God expects you to do something that's not comfortable. He's going to take you out of your comfort zone. See, I'm out of my comfort zone this morning. I'm not wearing a necktie. I mean, I'm out of my comfort zone. I mean, it's pretty cool. It's all right. I'm fine. I'll survive, right? I'll survive. This is the first time, to be honest with you, Patrick, this is the first time on a Sunday morning in almost 30 years I've ministered without a necktie. 30. Oh, here we go, clap. 30 years. I think I'm doing pretty good this morning, all right? Listen, 30 years. It's not comfortable. Now, it feels all right, so I'll probably do more of it. But the neck, okay, but the neckties are coming back, I can tell you that. So God has called us to be more than comfortable, all right? But we should always keep in the forefront of our thinking. Listen, there's a biblical principle here. When you care about people, I'm not talking about your brothers and sisters in Christ. When you care about people in general, you see them as being valuable and precious to God. And so if you see them the way God sees them, He sees them as being valuable, so valuable Jesus died for them, then you'll see them the same way. And when you see them the same way, your attitude changes. Your words change. All right? You're not so critical anymore. You're not so harsh anymore. You move with compassion toward them because you see them the way God sees them. Well, we ought to at least see our brothers and sisters in Christ that way. Good Lord, washed in the blood, filled with the Spirit. Don't bite and devour. By love, have a heart to serve. How can I help them? How can I bless them? What can I do to encourage them? You know, love believes the best of every person. Not the worst, the best. And it's so easy to look at people based on outward appearance and just... You need to shut up. By love, serve one another. Now, watch this. Turn to Matthew 20. This is great. I love this story. I love this story. Because just like I said, human nature hasn't changed in thousands of years. These people in the Bible were folks just like us. They had feelings and emotions. They had biases. They had prejudices. They had pride, all of that stuff. Watch what happened here. Matthew chapter 20. Notice verse 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said to her, "What do you want?" She said to him, "Grant that these my two sons, James and John, may sit one on your right hand and the other on the left in your kingdom." But Jesus answered and said, "You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with?" And they said to him, "We're able." And he said to them, "You shall drink indeed of my cup and shall be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father." Notice verse 24. "And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren." Now, I can imagine the conversation went something like this. "Oh, yeah. Had to bring your mama down here trying to get some position. You going to sit on the right hand and left. Who do you think you are? You think you're better than me? You think you're more anointed with? Had to bring your mama down here, huh?" Now listen. These were the same two men who had the nickname Sons of Thunder. Now that sounds pretty tough. I'd imagine these were some rough dudes. I'd imagine more than once they laid somebody out. I'd imagine more than once they fought at the drop of a hat. And now their mother comes to Jesus and says, "Lord, here's what I want. I want John on your right side. I want James on your left." And Jesus said, "Are you able to be baptized with..." They had no idea what they were talking about. Amen. He said, "You shall indeed be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with." Both of them died a martyr's death, just like Jesus. But I'm sure they had no clue at that time. Both of them were persecuted just like Jesus. But they had no idea what mama was asking for. So afterwards, you know how guys are. "Oh yeah, you tough, huh? Sons of Thunder. Yeah, you ready to throw down. Had to bring mama down here. Bunch of wusses." That's wuss is a word, I guess. Okay. But I want you to see what Jesus did immediately after this, because now there's strife and contention. Now there's fussing, feuding, and fighting. I mean, there's a who do you think you are? Going to bring your mama down here because you want a position? And see, many times that's what people jockey for in the first place. Now, we're fortunate around here at MGCC. We don't have that kind of stuff. You know, and to a certain degree, I wish I did. I'm serious. I wish I had 3-4 guys behind me ready to preach. Oh, Pastor, I want to preach next week. I wish I did. That'd be good, because I could teach you something. I'm not going to do this forever, you know. Come on, I'm only 56. Relax. I got a lot of time left, but I'm not going to be doing this at 76. I guarantee you, there's going to be a younger person in this spot doing what I'm doing, because I'm going to be doing something else. Amen?
Amen.
So you got 20 years to chill out. So, but in a sense, I wish I had a little bit of that. But notice this. I've been in a lot of churches, man. People fight over each other just to get up and say something, you know. Well, if you feel that way, come on. I'll help you. Okay. I'll help you. We got plenty to do. But notice this. Watch what Jesus did. Verse 25. But when Jesus called them unto him, he said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. Now, that word dominion is a word katakurio, and it simply means to control, to subjugate, to exercise dominion, or to lord over. In other words, it's all about control. The Gentile kings are all trying to control each other, control the people. But Jesus said, in the kingdom of God, we're not going to have any of that. Amen? That'll not be so among you. Notice this. But it shall not be so among you, but whoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. The word diakonos, the same Greek word translated deacon. And whoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Again, that word doleo, which means slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So Jesus set the example. He set the tone. He set the bar. And when he taught this to them, he did it while he had girded himself with a towel and gone down the row and washed all of their feet, including Judas. Washed their feet and said, I've done this as an example as how you should treat one another. So what was Jesus doing? He was exemplifying the principle, serve one another. Just like a slave, just from a heart of love, find a way to be a blessing. Find a way to serve. Find a way to help somebody else. Even though it may mean you have to get on your knees, take a lower position. You know, the Bible does tell us that we should esteem our brother better than ourselves. See, when you're always thinking about yourself, your own stuff, your own needs, you've missed it. But when you think about others, how you can be a blessing, how you can help them, then you've tapped into the mind of Christ. Amen? Amen? There are times I do things for people just because I want it. Not because I have to, but because I want to. Are you with me? Amen. Now I'm at the stage in life, and when I hear the Holy Spirit whisper to me, or when I have an idea, do this, buy this, send this, I don't think about it anymore. I just do it. Why? Because I want to be a blessing. I want to esteem somebody better than me. Are you with me? That's how you find your groove. Amen? That's how you find your groove. We'll talk more about this next week. Amen? Did you learn anything today? Okay. Would you stand with me, please?